Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flophouse. My name is Elliot Kalin, and I'm going to be your pilot tonight on a journey into interstellar space and into the depths of one of the most creative minds that maybe there ever was. Joining me on this special voyage are, as always, my co-pilots, their names being, fill in your names now, guys.
Dan McCoy.
Stuart Wellington.
Wow, a harsh lampoon of Dan McCoy.
I'm wondering about this voice that you're doing. Is this supposed to be a comforting pilot? Is that the kind of the vibe you're
this
going for?
This is the way I talk now.
Like a Rod Serling?
Guys, I discovered true peace and happiness, and this is just how I talk now. It's called drugs, and it is really taking the edge off.
I could have told you a long time ago. I didn't know you were interested, but
no, guys, I was just trying to start off with not in my normal hyperactive manner, because I'm gonna need to save that energy for this episode tonight. That's
real
right,
quick,
guys.
Real quick, Elliot, the drugs you took. Can you check the package and make sure it's not like a brain dead situation and it's accidentally like an Elliot stimulant?
Well, it didn't come
worm
in a package.
That jacks into your brain and.
No, that's brain damage.
Oh,
but
that's
if
right.
It's a worm that jacks into your brain, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Anyway, this is a mini episode. Normally on the Flophouse, we watch a bad movie. Then we talk about it. Sometimes the movie's not that bad. Sometimes the movie's very bad. But tonight, we didn't watch a movie. No, it's a mini episode. So it's our time to do whatever we want, and you're just strapped in. You got to follow us like hostages in your ears. So you're ear hostages to our stuff tonight.
I'm not sure about this new branding for the minis, but we can
it's called, hey, so here's how the minis work now. It's the audio equivalent of putting a hood over your head and shoving you in a van. just with us, you know.
And, you could turn off your podcast player, but then the next time a t-shirt comes out referencing a popular bit that you might miss that was featured in this mini, you're going to feel quite a fool.
You're going to be so mad when you don't know what that t-shirt means. It's going to wreck you. You're going to rue it to the end of your days.
Yep.
But don't worry. You're already listening. That's why you heard all this. So you're still with us. Tonight, I'm going to give Dan and Stuart a little explainer and answer all their questions about, that's right, M to the E, M to the E, M, 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 M to the E, Marvel's Eternals. That's right, everybody.
Okay.
We're finally going to be explaining what the hell the Eternals are. The subject of the next, it's the tentpole of what, phase 8, phase 9 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? That's right.
I don't know. When's it coming out, Elliot? Because, Black Widow obviously delayed, but only coming out
This weekend.
Eternals will be coming out November 5th in the United States. All over the world, I don't know when. So it's a big Thanksgiving time release. And when you hear about the movie, you're going to know why they're releasing it in Thanksgiving, because a time when people don't really go out to see the movies very much. It could be a good movie. I don't know. But I'm gonna bring you into my thesis that the Eternals are perhaps the least fan-loved characters in the history of Marvel Comics.
Wow. Should we give you a little foundation of what Dan and I know about Marvel's
That's
Eternals?
That's a great idea. I was just going to ask exactly that. What do you guys know about the Eternals? These are the subjects of a huge movie that's coming out, directed by an Academy Award-winning director and starring big-name stars. What do you know about the Eternals?
I know that Kumail Nanjiani
got so jacked.
He did get jacked.
Movie. He looks amazing. And
is Angelina Jolie in the movie?
She's also in the movie, yes.
That's all I know. So I know a couple of casting things and nothing about the characters.
So you know that Kumail Nanjiani, of course, plays the famous character Kingo.
Is that character known for being super jacked?
No, he's actually known for being Japanese. So it's interesting that they Kumail Nanjiani. But Kumail's character is a movie star who is a member of the Eternals, much like in the comics, Kingo is. And Angelina Jolie is, of course, playing the famous character Thena, who, Dan, you know is the daughter of Zoris.
Oh, of course, Zoris. What's he up to these days?
So that's the extent of what you're familiar with the Eternals, is two of the stars that are in the movie?
I don't even think I could remember any other...
So did you see the trailer?
I definitely watched the trailer at least once, but I have another question. So I saw J.K. Great. Simmons in a movie recently, and he was super jacked.
Yes.
Was he getting super jacked because he's got to play J. Jonah Jameson again?
I think he was getting super jacked because he and Kumail are gym buddies. And it was kind of like, yeah, you get jacked and I'll get jacked, rep for rep. We're going to do this together. Whenever one of us is flagging, the other one is going to buck up their spirits. And that's how they get
but
it done.
Do not touch that fucking bar until the last possible minute. You got to let me do the full pump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just believe in me and I'll believe in you. That was their motto. So guys, let me tell you about the Eternals, okay? I'm not going to start with more about the cast. Huge cast. It's the most diverse cast in a Marvel movie, which is interesting considering that the Eternals themselves are based in a sort of pseudo-Nazi-tific racist science, which we'll get into.
Okay.
So let me just explain the introduction. So the Eternals, just to break it down as simply as possible, they're a group of nearly immortal godlike beings created by even more godlike beings as an experiment in ancient times. And even though they're ancient and eternal and massively powerful, they tend to not show up when things happen because they are possibly the most boring characters ever created by Jack Kirby. And there is yet to be a successful revival of them. Let's talk about Jack Kirby for a second. You guys are familiar with Jack Kirby, right? Mm-hmm. Dan, Stu, tell me what you know about Jacob Kurtzberg.
Jack King Kirby, right?
Jack King Kirby, the king of comics. What do you know about him?
Isn't he the one who got kind of super psychedelic later on? Or am I getting confused with Ditko again?
No. I mean, they both got a little. I mean, Ditko got super Randian. And Jack Kirby's work became more psychedelic, but it was more like Jack Kirby was finally letting out the psychedelia that had been in his mind since the 1930s.
Right. And Kirby's the co-creator of many of the huge Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know about Jack Kirby.
He draws very distinctive hands, and he does like energy clouds in the background that have like little spots in them.
It's called Kirby Crackle. Yeah.
Yep. He was obviously a huge influence on my first ever favorite comic book artist, Eric Larson.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Let's say Jack Kirby is arguably the most creative mind in Marvel Comics history. Uh-huh. And without him, without his work with Stan Lee, you don't have the Marvel Universe and you don't have the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just look at all the characters in the movies he created or co-created, rather. Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, Loki, Bucky, not the version of Bucky that's in the movies, but the original version of Bucky, Black Panther, Nick Fury, Ant-Man, not the version of Ant-Man that's in the movies, but the Michael Douglas character version of Ant-Man, Scarlet Witch, Wasp, Quicksilver, Agatha Harkness from the Scarlet Witch TV show. Mm-hmm. And that's not counting the X-Men,
Agatha
the Fantastic Four.
Agatha all along, right?
What?
Agatha all along.
It was
right?
Agatha all along, it turned out. And I feel like they didn't really play fair by then showing you scenes that implied that if you went back and watched, you'd see Agatha like winking at the camera when that didn't really happen. But
interesting take.
Interesting take. Only because I heard people going like, oh, I didn't pick up the clues. And I was like, guys, I don't think there were any clues.
It's true.
If anything,
your clue is that she is second build, like she's third build and doesn't seem to be doing much.
Yeah, that's true.
The clue is that she's Catherine Hahn, and she's amazing, so you got to do something with her.
So let's just say Jack Kirby is comics' ultimate ideas man. So let's go back to the year 1970. Okay, guys, Richard Nixon's in the White House. Everybody's doing the Lindy Hop. What else was going on in 1970? Star Wars was yet to happen, and Jurassic Park was even farther in the future. And Jack Kirby, he gets fed up with Marvel Comics. He's been there for a while. He goes over to DC Comics, and he creates the Fourth World New Gods characters, a sprawling, somewhat standalone cosmic epic. It's not totally standalone in that it comes out of the Jimmy Olsen comic, but somewhat standalone. That was almost made into an Ava DuVernay movie recently, and then it fell apart. But you know what? Jack Kirby, he's not happy at DC either. So in the mid-70s, he comes back to Marvel, and he tries another somewhat standalone cosmic epic called The Eternals. And I think it's fair to say, I'm a huge fan of Jack Kirby. I'm a huge fan of his work in the 60s and in the early 70s, and even some of the late 70s stuff. This was the time of what you would call late-period Kirby when he was doing things like Devil Dinosaur, which was a series about a cave boy, a half-human, half-ape cave boy, and a red Tyrannosaurus that encountered, like, he would encounter, like, a computer that turned out to be God that created the Garden of Eden. Or there would be a whole issue where a giant with a Triceratops head as a mask would be just hurling trees at things. A lot of good stuff. This is kind of like somewhat around OMAC era Jack Kirby, where for DC he was making a character who had a super huge mohawk and was the one-man army corps in the future. Eternals, not his most energized. This is a series that runs for 19 issues and one annual. Since then, there has never been an Eternals series that ran for more than 12 issues. I think we're going to figure out why when I tell you who the Eternals are. Okay, guys, buckle up. We've seen the historical. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to find out what Jack Kirby would do when he was not quite firing on all cylinders?
Yes, please.
Okay, so are you familiar with a little book called Chariot of the Gods?
Is that the one that was ancient Egyptians were aliens?
Yeah, well, Chariots of the Gods, I should say, it was this kind of 70s pseudoscience, let's call it trash, that said that ancient peoples were not smart enough to make pyramids, because how could they be? They were not white people. And so it must be that aliens visited them and taught them how to make pyramids, which is kind of crazy, since, if you give a kid blocks, they'll figure out how to make a pyramid. This is not exactly an Infinite Monkeys, Infinite Typewriters scenario where the odds create it. Like, pyramids are easy to create. But in the 70s, people thought pyramids were very difficult. That was the time when...
It's more exciting to imagine there's a Stargate somewhere.
Exactly.
Where the Quaould can make you build their shit.
I mean, the concept of pyramids is easy to come up with. Let's not downplay the difficulty of the building of the pyramids.
That's true, but is there any other type of building where people were like, I don't know how they figured this out. It must be aliens. Like, castles? People seem to figure out how to do that. Towers? Yeah, people can do that. So what is it about pyramids that's suddenly so difficult that it can only be because
an alien
came down?
Pointy, Elliot?
The thing is, the South American pyramids are not pointy, Dan. They're quite blunt at the top. Anyway, what I'm saying is, Jack Kirby, very much not racist, perhaps one of the least racist people ever to work in mainstream comic books in the 1960s, and yet the Eternals is kind of baked in with some very racist ideas, not the least of which is this Chariots of the Gods stuff, where it's the idea of ancient aliens coming down and teaching, the Aztecs how to build pyramids and things like that. Okay, so here's the story of the Eternals. Okay, but here's the thing about Jack Kirby. He would kind of take whatever was going on around him and throw it in a big stew pot and stir it up and be like, here's your comics. And that's why his stuff is amazing, because it was just kind of like any idea that fell into his ears, he would just throw into this big idea stew pot. So in prehistoric
Elliot,
times.
This has been so much build up in this episode already. I feel like I'm still waiting to get to the Mortal Kombat tournament.
Okay, well, so here's the story of the Eternals. It's ancient times, prehistoric even. There's no people. There's just hominids, just kind of cave ape people. The Earth is visited by ancient beings called the Celestials, mysterious aliens in 60-foot armor that conceals their entire... Well, they're 60-foot aliens. That's why the armor is so tall. That conceals their entire bodies, and it looks amazing. Like, the Celestials characters look gorgeous, and they're the reason anyone brings back the Eternals. Because the Celestials... They're these super tall, mysterious aliens. They don't talk. All their heads look like coffee pots or like trash cans. Like, they have amazing helmets and huge hands that they use to give the thumbs down all the time. So if you can imagine godlike alien beings that can only communicate using thumbs up or thumbs down, that's the Celestials. Okay.
That's the original binary, Elliot.
That's true, yeah. They do not have a thumb in the middle. That is, Celestials are hot and cold. And I think the only reason the Eternals were ever folded into the Marvel Universe eventually is because the Celestials look so cool. So they're great. They are objectively the best thing about this story. So they come to the Earth in waves known as hosts. The first host was about a million years ago, and they take furry cavemen and experiment on them to create two races, the Eternals, who are good and beautiful because, according to the comics, they have stable genetics, and the Deviants, who have unstable genetics, and every generation they mutate and look different and are not white and blonde, and so they're ugly demons who are always trying to conquer the Earth. So basically this is Jack Kirby who, if you go on Twitter, everyone's like, Jack Kirby, he would say to punch a fascist in the face, him being some real blood purity, superior race type stuff, which is not great. Again, not to say he's racist, just ideas falling into the Jack Kirby stew pot. The Jack Kirby stew pot, again, what I would recommend if you go to the Marvel restaurant chain that I'm sure will exist at some point.
And
Sorry, setting aside the racial implications for just a moment. Yes. I didn't mean to cut off your stew pot rant if there was better.
I was going
to
come up with some other dishes at this Marvel restaurant,
okay,
but continue. What were you going to say?
Okay. Well, maybe you can think about it and we can circle back. Setting aside,
well,
the...
I know there's going to be something called Dick Cajitas, which are like fajitas that are Steve Ditko influenced. Okay. So like when you eat them, your hands have to be in weird poses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh huh. So my question is, setting aside,
I'm not done yet. But what's
okay,
your question?
Whoa. Yeah. The horrible like sort of racial implications, like why would these beings be like, okay, we got to create some good creatures and then some evil creatures? Mm-hmm. Like, well, are they playing a board game?
They would say, the comics I think are always like, oh well, the Celestials experiment for mysterious purposes, so mysterious we can never know them. But then it turns out. But then the comics come up with different explanations. But then they always go back to like, oh, they're so mysterious. We could never even comprehend it for their own mysterious, silent needs. Oh, these godlike beings. And it's a little bit like Galactus, where he starts off and he's this amazing godlike being. And the more they use him, the more he just becomes like the biggest dude in the neighborhood, you know? And they're bumping into him all the time and then killing him off. And then he comes back and things like that. Anyway, so to answer your question, there's no real set reason. But a lot of times it's just to like, the Eternals are just supposed to be there around to like protect Celestials. In the Earth X series, it's posited that there's a Celestial seed or egg in the center of the Earth, and that superheroes were created to defend this from aliens from Galactus want to eat it or something. Anyway, continue.
Burritoni Stark. How about that?
No, because the dishes Stark. Are based on the creators, not on the the characters.
Sorry. Creators. Well, now I gotta go back to the drawing board.
Your host is dressed like Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and you get the Stan leek soup. That's a leek soup, like a classic Welsh leek soup, but it comes with a mustache and sunglasses on it. That's what makes it about Stanley. There's also like the John.
That comes from the stall called Stew Believers.
Thank you. There's the John Buse scrambled eggs. That's the John Buscema scrambled eggs. That's for their breakfast.
Yeah,
yeah, sure, and so forth. There's Well, I'll think of some more later. You guys feel free to think of some, too. So, guys, the first host came and it turned people into Eternals and Deviants. Meanwhile, regular old human beings, they're evolving, too. 20,000 years ago, the Celestials come back. They were busy for a while. They finally came back to check on the experiment. The second host arrives. They find that the Deviants, they just took over the whole world. While the Eternals were just sitting up on a mountain somewhere, the Deviants took over the whole world. The Celestials comes down, and the Deviants are like, well, we're the best now. The Celestials respond by destroying the Deviants' whole civilization. They sink their continent of Lemuria under the seas. Now they live underground. Uh-huh. And later on, there was this stuff added about where like they worship this one Celestial that went bad and was living under the earth and it's sleeping and all sorts of stuff. Now, you may be asking yourself, okay, didn't Marvel Comics already have the Inhumans, which were a race of mysterious superpowered people that live in the mountains and were created when the Kree came to Earth and experimented on cavemen?
Yeah, yes, I was going to say that.
You're right. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, and the same guy created both of them. It's Jack Kirby is serving kind of like leftover stew at this point.
Do any of the Eternals have cool powers like Black Bolt?
Let's get into that, shall we? Black Bolt, of course, as everyone knows, is the Inhuman who cannot speak because his voice is so powerful that even a whisper can knock down mountains. Mm-hmm. The Inhumans, they all have their own powers.
Every
as you
podcaster's
know.
Fantasy.
When really it's just Joe Rogan that can do that.
Sure.
So the Inhumans, Medusa's got her crazy hair that can grab things, Triton is a fish man, Karnak can see the weaknesses in things and hit them with karate chops so that they fall down. There's Gorgon, who's got hoof feet that are really strong and he stamps on stuff. Yep. They've all got great powers. They're amazing.
Is Lockjaw one of the Inhumans?
Lockjaw is a dog that can teleport because he has a tuning fork on his forehead, and he's a huge dog. Let's take a minute away from the Eternals. Talk about Lockjaw. Lockjaw is one of the most amazing Marvel characters, and it's too bad that – and I think one of the reasons Marvel is doing the Eternals is because they screwed up the Inhumans so badly with their TV show. Lockjaw is apparently – it is one of those things that really tests the believability of a Marvel concept because he's an enormous dog. He's a dog the size of a small elephant, and he's constantly drooling, and he can teleport anywhere. You got to look up Lockjaw.
Yeah,
he's
look
amazing.
Up Lockjaw. He's great.
And he has a little tuning fork on his head that matches his master Black Bolt's tuning fork on his head. And it's just like Jack Kirby was just like, yeah, they've got a superpowered dog. What of it?
Oh, look at that dog.
Yeah, he's got a big tongue. And he looks like a dog with a mustache. Like he's amazing. He's a great character. There's a reason he has had his own series. At this point, I think Lockjaw might have starred in as many comics as the Eternals have starred in. Mm-hmm. So give Lockjaw a movie. Anyway, let's talk about the Eternals characters. So they've been living up at the polarized caps. Every now and then, They live forever, pretty much. They have every now and then they appear before normal humans and become the basis for all of our myths. Oh boy, that's right. Wow. Their names kind of sound like God. It's that old saw, that old jigsaw. So you got guys like Icarus. He's super strong. He can fly. He probably can shoot lasers and things like that. And he's Icarus, so that's where that comes from. Then there's Circe. She's like the seductive party girl of the Eternals, and she has the power to, like, turn things into other things. So remember when Circe in the Odyssey turned all those guys into pigs? Guess what? Circe in the comics does that, too.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy. There's Makari, who can run real fast, and he's obsessed with running really fast, and he was the inspiration for Mercury. There's Ajax, who's super strong, that leads to Ajax.
How's Makari spelled?
It's spelled M-A-K-K-A-R-I.
Okay, so pretty similar to Gazkull Magaruk Thraka's Bannergrot, Makari, who's insanely lucky, but he's a pretty cool dude in and of itself. That's Warhammer 40,000 stuff.
Okay, because I was going to say, Stuart, I'm talking about the Eternals, and I couldn't understand half of what that last sentence was. So you bested me, sir.
I zoned out a little bit earlier.
So Gazkull is an orc war boss of the Goth clan, and he is known for laying waste to the Imperial world Armageddon.
Sounds like a real deviant. Until he faced off
with Commissar Yarik. He cut off Yarik's arm, but that didn't stop Yarik. No, he's too much of a badass. So he then uses laser eye to hurt Gazkull. We'll talk about it later.
Anyway, the important thing is... Yeah, Dan?
The actual question, though, was... Chris Claremontery Jack Cheese. Did anyone say that?
Claremontery Jack Cheese. I mean, that's not a dish. I mean, that could be something an ingredient. I mean, if you're gonna have like kind of an X-Men mutant cheese plate, like that would be great to have on there. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I could see that. And like, what else? What other cheeses sound like? I mean, X-Men characters' names.
Did you say Swiss Claremont cheese?
Oh, Swiss Claremont is even better than Chris Claremont or Ray Jack. Oh, nice, there's also Jim Brie. You'd go with that, of course. Yeah. So anyway, if anyone else fans, feel free to get on the horn.
Shortwave radio.
Tell us some more Marvel restaurant food. So anyway, guys, let's talk. We're getting to the end of the background on this. Okay. So there's all these stories about like in the original Eternal story, they're always like, huh, yes, that's what I told Plato when I met up with him. Or they're like, oh, the Aztec gods, they turn out to be these Eternals. Or hey, when I went to Egypt and I taught them about hieroglyphics as a joke. The leader of the Eternals, it's Zuris. That's right. And he's the leader mainly because he figured out how the Eternals can combine themselves into the Unimind, a giant cosmic brain with superpowers. Now, again, if this reminds you of how the Forever People, a previous Jack Kirby series, can combine to become Infinity Man, very similar.
Who becomes the January Man? That's Kevin Kline, right?
Spoiler alert.
Wait, actually, the January Man, I guess, is the killer in that.
Yeah.
So it's not Kevin Kline.
Wait, Kevin Kline isn't the killer, though. Because if he was, you would have just spoiled that fucking thing.
Yeah.
No.
I can't even remember who... The January Man is, and I watched that like this year.
It's probably, like Clancy Brown or.
Yeah.
or Chow Yun Fat, some killer. But, that's a movie that I see it on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch this. Wait, am I really about to watch The January Man? So I've never seen it because I can't quite pull the trigger on it.
You know, I was like, oh, you know, I love Kevin Kline. I love him in his sort of like shaggy semi-comic mode.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's got a great cast otherwise. Susan Sarandon, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, Harvey Keitel, Danny Aiello, Rod Steiger.
Are you reading the IMDb profile?
I am reading it. Alan Rickman.
Are you reading the back of the novelization that's on here?
He's reading the back of the box of course, January Man O's cereal.
Patrick Shanley screenplay.
Oh, wow.
Writer and director of your favorite movie.
My favorite movie,
When the Whistle Blows. What was it?
Yeah. Yeah, when the Blarney falls off the shamrock.
It's called Doing the Shamrock Shake.
So is The January Man the sequel to The Weatherman?
No. January Man is a guy who's bitten by a radioactive January. January Jones, that is. And now he has all the powers of January Jones, which is to be really, really good in the three burials of Melquiades Estrada and not so much in the other things that she's in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess she just needs a solid director like Tommy Lee Jones pointing her in the right direction. Okay, so Zuris, he creates the Unimind. That's your background. the original Eternal story is the story about the fourth host, led by Arishem the Judge. They are coming to Earth to see if Earth is worthy of not being destroyed if the experiment went. And Icarus, having taken the name Ike Harris, is in love with an archaeologist's daughter, and he spends a lot of the series hanging out with this archaeologist and his daughter and being like, hey, this stuff that you thought was just ancient civilizations, it's gods and things. Anyway, I'm going to explain
that's
it
some,
to you now.
That's some, like, Angel Heart level shit right there, buddy.
How could you crack that code? Meanwhile, the other Eternals just kind of wander around using their real names and hanging and just hanging out. Like, Cersei just calls herself Cersei and wears, like, a green bathing suit everywhere she goes. They're always fighting the Deviants, led by, I think his name is King Toad, and the Warlord
already,
Crow.
Already very interested in King Toad.
Yeah, King Toad is... My ears perk right up.
He's like a big, fat frog's head with little arms and legs. I don't know how he became King of the Deviants.
Yeah,
I think it's spelled T-O-D-E. I think it's spelled T-O-D-E. To give you a taste of what the original Eternals comics are like, I put together two passages that I think get across the clash of styles that that Jack Kirby is kind of struggling with here. This is a line from issue number 4 from a narrative caption. Arishem, leader of the fourth host, stands like a mountain above the Inca ruins. His face is hidden, but his eyes see everything that lives in this world. They are the eyes of a judge, even as his hands are those of a destroyer. When mankind discovers Arishem, it will find itself against overwhelming, total power, with 2 exclamation points at the end. And now here's a line from issue 5. Cersei is calling to Makari through her communicator device, and she says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most juvenile of all? And Makari says, that's funky corn, Cersei. So...
That's funky what?
That's funky corn, Cersei.
That is funky corn.
So as you can tell, the Eternals have really kept up with the modern slang, and they're really doing it right. Now, none of these characters have that much personality. The only Eternals that really have a lot of personality are 2 Deviants, one called the Reject, who's called that because he is handsome, and so the Deviants don't like him.
Yeah.
And he's angry at the world because he just wants to be a Deviant, and he hates that he's so handsome. And this guy, Karkas, K-A-R-K-A-S, Dan, you should look him up. He's a big red dude who wears metal pants and has a huge head and, like, Tyrannosaurus Rex hands, and he's actually very nice, even though he's a Deviant, and he becomes friends with the Eternals. They're the best characters. Karkas better be in the movie. He's a crazy design. And there's also a bad Eternal name like Druig, who's basically what you would expect from a bad guy named Druig. So, guys, I just told you all about the Eternals. Who's your favorite Eternal?
Oh, my God.
Somewhere?
Sorry, I just saw Karkas.
So, Dan, paint a word picture for the listener. What's Karkas like?
Karkas is kind of like if there was, like, a potato, like a red potato. Mm-hmm.
Okay, like a russet potato, yeah.
And that potato had kind of like a little, sort of like, I don't know, like a great ape, like a gorilla face. and then their little claws. He looks small because he's stubby. I see him fighting.
In the picture, he looks when there's no scale, he always looks like a little baby. But he's actually very tall. He's like 10 feet tall.
Big, I see from other pictures. But he also, like, in the one I'm looking at right now, he's like got, like, basically his legs look like they've got Colossus armor.
Yeah. Yes, he wears kind of blue underpants with steel leggings underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this guy.
He's really cool. Yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like if you took a professional wrestler and you pulled all his skin off you gave him metal pants and really sharp teeth. Like, that's Karkas. And so he's great. He's my favorite Eternals character by far, and he's not in it that much. I would say Lockjaw is to the Inhumans as Karkas is the Eternals. You see him and you're just like, what a cool, cute dude. Like, I just want to see more about this character and know more about them. So, other than that, who's your favorite Eternal? I've talked to you about them. Who's your favorite one? Is it Icarus, who's kind of like He-Man without the personality? Is it Cersei, who's kind of like a magical party girl? There's Sprite, who's just kind of always a kid but is mad about it. They're like a mean little kid.
Sure.
Again, there's Makari, who's obsessed with speed. It's all he wants to do is run. He's just born to run.
Mm-hmm.
There's Thena. Again, she's Zorus's daughter, and she's kind of like becomes the leader of the Eternals, but she kind of cracks under the pressure at one point. There's Zurus, who, again, doesn't have much personality beyond just being, like, a cut-rate Odin.
The leader,
Who do you love? Who's the Eternals that really sticks out to you?
Well, I liked the description of Cersei. Mm-hmm.
And she changes things into other things. I'm into that.
That's true.
I don't like her design and some of the, like, I guess these must be newer comics I don't care for. The original Kirby design, I like, okay. but
well, anyway,
what don't you like about the design? Is it the,
well, they make they the like the more recent comics are like very much like
she's carrying two Uzis.
I'm trying to. No, it's
Dan doesn't
I mean, like
this. She's always on her phone.
No, they just sexify it a lot, like like they, you know, did for a period of time.
I mean, she was always kind of wearing like a sex. She was always, her costume was just basically like a green low cut bathing suit. You know,
so is she like she like the Enchantress?
She is a little bit like the Enchantress, yes, but she's like a chaotic good Enchantress, whereas Enchantress is chaotic evil. Yeah,
yeah.
So guys, well,
I guess I'll go. I guess I'll go Icarus because I appreciate his on the nose, you know, code name.
Icarus. I
appreciate his ambition.
Yeah.
And so as you've seen, the Eternals are like always hiding out and not really getting involved in stuff. And we'll talk about then how do these eternal immortal gods that don't like getting involved in things and do not care about people that much, how do they fit into the Marvel Universe? But before we get to that, Dan, I believe we have a word from our own celestial, Squarespace.
Yes. thank you, Elliot. In addition to the kind support from listeners like you, this episode is sponsored in part by Squarespace. With Squarespace, you can create a beautiful website, turn your cool idea into a site on the internet for all to see and use. You can blog or publish content, sell products and services of all kinds, and much, much more. And Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful, customizable templates created by world-class designers, with everything optimized for mobile right out of the box, a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions, free and secure hosting. What a great deal. Head to squarespace.com/flop for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code FLOP, that's F-L-O-P, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Now, Dan, I had an idea for a website, and I was wondering if Squarespace might be able to help me with it.
Let's get it. Let's put it on the table. We'll poke at it, see if it works.
Yep. Okay, so this is a website. It's called www.whatartheeternalsagain.com, and it's a website just for me where I would go and read it and remind myself, because I've read these comics that Jack Kirby wrote at least two times all the way through, and I had to do so much research to remember who these characters were before I talked to you guys, even with the minimal information I've been able to give you. Because for some reason, it's like I remember reading about a science fiction book once where a guy's face was so forgettable that he had to wear a crazy hat in order to stick in people's memories, or else they would just forget about him. And that's kind of what the Eternals
are
like to
me. Yeah, that's a Black Mirror episode. If we talk to your wife, Danielle, is she going to say that you spent the last like day or two like stressing out and being like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of my friends?
Yeah, and even more so, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of Jack Kirby's ghost, who has been like, hey, you're talking about the Eternals, huh? Well, let me tell you, those are some amazing tales.
Definitely got a cigar.
They've been coming to Oyth. Yeah, a big cigar in his mouth. Ancient gods have been coming to Oyth and influencing all of our ancient civilizations. They invented the pyramids. They invented all these things. Anyway, so I've had 17 more ideas since we started talking. I don't want to talk about the Eternals anymore. I want to talk about something else. And so Jack Kirby's ghost is constantly just telling me new ideas, and some of them are amazing, but many of them don't make any sense. So this website would be to help me remember the Eternals so Jack Kirby's ghost doesn't get mad at me. Dan, Squarespace would be able to help me with that, right?
Sure. Now, this website of yours, is that just going to redirect back to this episode?
It will be, just for me, though. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, guys, let's get back to what we were talking about. How do the Eternals fit into the Marvel Universe? Well, they don't really. They were never supposed to. They were intended to be their own separate thing. At one point, they were like, Jack, we need you to have the Eternals, like, fight the Hulk or something. So he has Icarus fight a robot of the Hulk that somebody makes because he does not want them existing in the same real world as the Hulk. By the real world, I mean the Marvel Universe, where superheroes stop being polite and start getting real. Eventually, though, all this backstory got rolled into the Marvel Universe proper. Cersei joined the Avengers for a while in the like the early 90s, and she was always trying to seduce Captain America, and he was getting very flustered. They revealed that Zuras, the father of all the, or the leader of the Eternals, was brothers with Alars, who is Thanos' dad. He would go on to become mentor of the Titans. So they're like, they mush these things together, And lately, Celestials, which used to be these enigmatic, like kind of once in a million years robot alien giants, have just been popping up in the Marvel Universe like crazy. Just like you can't throw a dead cat without hitting a Celestial. And it's like, why are you throwing dead cats around the Marvel Universe? It's because you're a new villain called
Cat
Throw.
That's wild. Why would you do that?
It's terrible.
Yeah, well, you're a new villain. Your only power is that you're unerring aim with dead cats. Like Gambit is with playing cards, you are with dead cats. It's not a great character, but look, they're running low on ideas in the House of Ideas. So Daredevil goes out at night and he gets hit with a dead cat and it doesn't hurt him necessarily, but it weirds him out. He feels gross.
Do not like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
So that's Cat Thrower. They're doing a 14-part crossover about him this summer, which somehow he's created. He's connected to the creation of the universe. So my question is...
You finally invented a supervillain I like less than Carnage.
So what don't you like about Carnage other than the fact that he's just a serial killer Venom?
Yeah, that's why. I don't like serial killer Venom.
I mean, what about the fact that his costume is super swirly? Isn't that nice?
No.
Isn't that nice?
Well, haven't you looked at a costume before of a superhero and been like, where are the swirls? I want more swirls.
Yeah. I think it's just because I just think it's the like, it's like they took Venom and then they just poured a bunch of Mountain Dew on him. You know, like, I don't know.
That's
okay.
His origin. That's in canon, in the comics. That's what happened.
Yeah, how he got so extreme.
Yeah, they poured Mountain Dew on him, and his symbiote costume split into one that was more extreme. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because of all the dew. Anyway, how are they going to make these characters into a movie? This is a double-edged sword. The Eternals, there's lots of potential there, because nobody cares about these characters. So you can basically do anything with them. The movie already, just with the stuff they've announced, is very different in terms of many of the characters in the comics. And has there been a fan backlash? Guys, you're keyed into the nerd internet. Has there been a fan backlash because Ajak is a woman in the movie and not a man like in the comics? Has there been a backlash? No, because no one cares. No one knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a backlash where people were mad at Kumail for being jacked.
I remember they were mad at him for being buff. That's true.
First they were happy, then they got mad about it,
and
then I haven't heard anything recently about where we're standing on that issue.
Whereas, if I remember, there were people who got mad because in Thor, Heimdall was played by a black actor, which is a ridiculous thing to be mad
it's
about.
It's a and ridiculous it's not like, thing to be
and
mad
And it's
about.
Not even like these are people who are like, I've always been a Heimdall fan, and I'm just mad it's not my visual imagination of what Heimdall has always been, because no one cares about Heimdall. The same way that when Agatha Harkness was revealed as a villain in the WandaVision series, spoiler alert, nobody cared because nobody's an Agatha Harkness fan. Nobody was like, but she's a hero in the comics. Uh-huh. She was Franklin Richards' nanny. She used a big magic cat to scare off the wingless wizard. Nobody cared. It didn't matter.
Say more things in that voice about comics.
Agatha Harkness was Scarlet Witch's mentor. She was burned alive, and it was wrong. Why would you make her a villain? It doesn't make sense.
The opposite of ASMR, but still enjoyable, weirdly.
Why would you – so Vision, okay, in the comics he's created by Ultron to infiltrate the Avengers using the body of the original Human Torch, although that was eventually retconned away and they said it wasn't what happened. And he has the brain powders. He has the brain patterns and probably brain powders, because if you crumble up his brain it'll turn into powder, of Simon Williams, Wonder Man, who at the time was dead but eventually came back. Yeah. So I don't understand why in the movies he's created by Tony Stark with an infinity gem. It doesn't make sense. How do you feel about Ajak being a woman instead of a man? Why? What? Who's that? I don't understand.
So,
one of the Eternals, the who? I've already forgotten. It's like a slippery idea. It slides right out of my brain.
Yeah.
Luckily. Okay. So
but,
there's no.
But you said there's no fan backlash. But when the trailer was first came out, there was a little bit of backlash because of some of the design was so much plainer than the original Kirby designs.
Well,
specifically like a big spaceship.
Well, it's true. The spaceship that shows up in the beginning in the comic books, that thing is a big, crazy Kirby creation, and it's fantastic. It's all these little parts, and in the movie, it just kind of like is like a big. It's like a monolith on its side, you know, with some lines drawn in it. And the costumes, the characters are much more muted. They don't have the bright, bold colors and the bright Kirby designs, which are very geometric. But Look, we're living in a... I'm just glad that Spider-Man has a costume that looks like Spider-Man's costume, and that Captain America at least has wings painted onto the side of his mask, even if he's not going to have little wings that stick out of the sides. Maybe he doesn't wear buccaneer boots, but you know what? you got to take what you can get. For some reason, it's the understanding on the Marvel Universe when it comes to costumes, and the DC movies too, is that bright, bold colors are not fun, but you got to have lots of little textures and like little bits of like crap... You know, stuff sticking out all over the place. Like, Vision can't just be a robot with a red head. He's got to have all these lines and grooves all over his face and his head.
Yeah.
Guys, what's the deal with all the grooves? Why all the grooves, Dan? Because, I want it to be like the Spark song, The Rhythm Thief. Hey, where did the groove go? I want them all gone. I don't like those grooves. Bold colors.
The groove is in the heart, right?
Yeah.
It's not in the head.
It's all over Vision's face. Exactly. The groove should be in the heart.
I saw something about a groove tube once. Listen, it involved, I think, there's a gorilla who had a TV on his head.
And Richard Belzer's in it at some point. Listeners, if the groove is in your heart, that's correct. You should not have a smooth heart. You want your heart to be full of grooves. You want it to be very grooved, like a record. Like, you know, that's what your heart should look like. But your face, maybe you have grooves on your face and maybe it looks great. But Vision should have a smooth face. He's a robot. Why are these grooves there?
Now,
I just don't understand. I just don't understand why he has grooves on his face.
You're addressing our number one grooved face listener, Lance Henriksen.
And Lance, the grooves are working for you. I love it. It's just like the back of Jeff Goldblum's hand. You put a drop of water on it, and you can see it go down all the grooves. It's beautiful. I love it.
I want to put you on a turntable and listen to you all night, Lance.
What do you think it sounds like when you play Lance Henriksen's face on a record player? There's also, those are naturally eroded grooves. That's natural weathering from icebergs and wind and sea. And
they're called.
It's not adding like three-dimensional puffed-up webs to Spider-Man's body. Why does Spider-Man in the movies, why does he have like a funeral armlet around his shoulders? I don't understand it. But anyway, Dan, you were saying.
I agree that I want more colors. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, particularly early on, like before the MCU, like when it was like the X-Men movies and people didn't believe that people would want to see superhero movies for some reason, back when that was a risky proposition to make a superhero film. Like, I didn't like the like all black and gray costumes. It was just like, we got to make this look cool.
Yeah. Do you think they were like, they were hoping that people would go into the movies and be like, but, X-Men, well, they kind of look like a motorcycle gang. I'll go see this movie.
I'll see that. But I will defend like texture to some degree. I'm sure like it makes it easier, like cinematically, like just to like have something going on rather than just
I don't
the
know. You look at this is not on subject of the Eternals, but look at the Christopher Reeve Superman costume and the Henry Cavill Superman costume. The Christopher Reeve one is super smooth, looks great.
Yeah.
The Henry Cavill one, it's full of grooves. It's full of pebbles. It's so pebbly.
He's got you there, Dan.
Let me just show you. Okay, Dan. The Superman costume that Christopher Reeve wore, it's like a beautifully paved road. Your eyes just slide along it beautifully. Like Henry Cavill suit's like driving down a cobblestone street. It's terrible. It's bad on your suspension. It's not comfortable. Uh-huh. You don't like it. And if you're walking down it, you can easily trip and fall.
I'll explain. The problem was that the Cavill costume was designed on a Sunday afternoon. So they had to be grooving. They had to be.
I guess that's what it was. That is the grooviest time. You're done with church. You can finally loosen your tie. So there's the positive aspect of this is that no one cares about the Eternals, so they have a free hand to do whatever they want with their characters. The other side is that these characters do not have a particularly interesting hook. They're kind of like basically the Inhumans, but less so, you know. And so the main issue of the movie, though, and this is brought up by a lot of people, what have these Eternals been doing just hanging around? Like, Thanos killed half the universe, and the Eternals were like, I'm busy. I don't like to get involved. What have they been doing all this time? I guess the movie will answer that question. But guys, guess what? We're in luck. Because along with the Eternals comes another character, everyone's favorite Marvel Universe character.
Lockjaw?
Everyone's second favorite Marvel Universe character. Don't say Carcass. Okay, everyone's third favorite Marvel Universe character. Although, if Carcass was in the movie, I'd be like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. What's I think what's amazing is that the Shang-Chi trailer came out, and everyone was like, is Fin Fang Foom in this movie? And that there's nothing in the Eternals trailer that is as exciting as that, you know.
As but, the hope that Fin Fang Foom is in it.
As the hope that there's a giant alien dragon that can be put to sleep with a magic spice herb, you know. And that at least in the original comics wears tiny purple shorts. Like, there's no hope in the Eternals that there's going to be a dragon wearing tiny purple shorts. As there again another Jack Kirby design, I believe. So this movie is finally introduced. That's right, Dan. Who's your favorite Marvel character who hasn't been in the movies yet?
Kitty Pryde.
No, in the MCU. No, your other favorite. Months. Your other favorite Marvel character who hasn't been in the MCU yet.
Who? Puck.
No, keep going. From Alpha Flight, it's not him. Keep going. Who's your favorite? Who's not in the MCU? Third favorite, then.
I can't. Is MODOK in it?
He's not. Okay, he has his own show. Fourth favorite, who hasn't been in the MCU. I mean, MODOK is in the MCU because his show takes place within that universe. Okay.
And Doctor Doom. Is it Doctor Doom?
It's okay. Fifth favorite. Who's your fifth favorite character who hasn't been in the
MCU? I was actually excited that it might actually be.
It's not Doctor Doom. It is it is an armored character, but okay, who's your... I've already given away too much. Who's
Moon
your,
Knight. Moon Knight. No, okay. Is it Moon Knight?
No, he's getting his own show on Disney+.
Wow, okay. Watching Dan remember names of characters is amazing.
Dan is really... these are characters I didn't know you knew. What about...
Is it one of the Micronauts?
That was this licensed property. Marvel doesn't own that license anymore. No. Seventh favorite. Who's your seventh favorite Marvel character who hasn't been in the MCU? Because this is going to be it.
Is it Dr. Bong?
No, it's not Dr. Bong from the Howard the Duck comics. Okay, eighth favorite. Your eighth favorite MCU character. Marvel character hasn't been in the MCU. Who is it? He's going to be in this one.
If Dan says Annihilus, I would eat my hat.
I think I've run out of good answers.
Really?
What?
No, just give me any answers. Your favorites. Come on. They don't all have to be Dr.
My
Bong.
My favorites. Who actually do I like that hasn't been...
It's not Slapstick, the cartoon character superhero.
Mhm. I don't know, man.
Well, I'll just tell you.
It's Beta Ray Bill.
That's right. It's not Beta Ray Bill. His face showed up in Thor Ragnarok. So we got it. That was hopefully that's not all we get because he's an amazing character. Okay. Hold on to your butts, guys, because this is you're gonna fall over. You're gonna be so excited.
Okay.
That's right. Dane Whitman, the Black Knight.
Whoa! Wait, what?
Who's that?
He's okay. Who? I'm amazed you're asking me because he's everyone's favorite Marvel character, Dane Whitman, the Black Knight. He is a knight who has a magic sword that is thousands of years old, and it gives him ill-defined powers, strength, I guess. He also has a horse with wings. And Dan, don't look up the villain, the Black Knight, who had the same horse.
Oh, he's going to be played by Kit Harington, Girl
Detective.
He's going to
be played by Kit Harington, so I assume it's a backdoor pilot for a Black Knight movie. So it's almost like they said to themselves, we're launching an Eternals franchise. Who is a character that would make the Eternals look exciting by comparison?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, the Black Knight. Everyone's least favorite Avenger after Gilgamesh, who is one of the Eternals. So, guys, it was all a ruse. It was not one of Dan's favorite characters. That was just a hilarious bit. To make you realize how unexcited I am to have the Black Knight entering into the Marvel Cinematic Universe at a time when they really are holding their gunpowder dry on the Fantastic Four and not really moving forward on plans for those characters.
Or the Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, if only the Great Lakes Avengers were involved. Oh, Flatman, Doorman,
why
Mr.
not?
Mortal.
Why not Wonder Man? He feels like an easy one to do.
So I don't know what they're doing with Wonder Man. I once pitched a Wonder Man show to Marvel's television division when they had a separate television division, and they looked into it, and they were told that something might be done with Wonder Man at some point.
Yeah.
So he was off the table. But guys, that's pretty much the Eternals. So to wrap things up, the Eternals are somewhat racist, superpowered immortal beings created by giant armored space aliens whose heads look like coffee makers. They are eternally at war with another race of evil beings that we have not heard about in the Marvel Cinematic Universe up to this point. And they are the source of all of our myths and dreams, which automatically means they're probably the most interesting characters that ever existed. And I defy anyone to watch the trailer and tell me who these characters are and what they do. So, guys, have I made you more excited about the Eternals movie?
Kind of, actually.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay,
I like how weird it all sounds. I mean, like, at this point, I have been most fond of new Marvel movies, like, the weirder they get. And so they're going to go into some weird zone. Also, I just finally looked up these Celestials. Oh, boy. I like the looks of these guys.
I mean, if the Celestial...
crazy colors.
I am not particularly excited about this movie because I just don't have a connection with these characters.
Well, I'm excited about the idea that the Celestials, this subheading of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that they might keep dipping into these Academy Award winning directors. Like, I feel like that Black Knight movie doesn't sound that exciting unless it's directed by Paul Schrader, director of Heartbeats.
Interesting choice. Really, that's Paul Schrader's go-to credit.
Director of Heartbeats.
I don't think he did direct Heartbeats, Stu.
No, he didn't.
I think he did. Yeah. Check
it. Something that Stuart said to me the other night as well. He's bringing in a running joke from off the podcast.
I think Stuart.
That he thinks the Andy Kaufman, Bernadette Peters. Winsome comedy where they're both robots.
Well, it's Paul Schrader,
again,
he just wrote it.
Paul Schrader. Stu is constantly getting Paul Schrader and Alan Arkush mixed up. And that's why he thinks that.
The director of Rock and Roll High School.
That's why he thinks Paul Schrader directed Heartbeats and Caddyshack 2, and that Alan Arkush directed Mishima: A Life in Four Chapters and First Reformed.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody does that shit, right?
I feel like Paul Schrader's Rock and Roll High School would be a very different movie.
Yes.
And frankly, his Heartbeats would be a very different movie.
More despairing.
But I think what I was going to say is I feel like if the movie gets weird, the way the Eternals can get weird, the way Jack Kirby's going to get weird, then I think I'll really enjoy it. And I hope that the Celestials, like the same way that When they made the mistake in that Fantastic Four sequel of making Galactus like a big purple cloud, like I hope they don't mess with the Celestial designs too much. Partly because the Celestials, they're covered in grooves. So they're already got them. You know, the grooves in the heart on them and all over their bodies.
Yeah.
And you want them to look like these big, crazy armored aliens with no faces. But I'm worried that they're going to take it a little too seriously. But only time will tell. I will be happy to be proven wrong. And you know what? If I'm proven wrong, Here's what I'll do to you. I'll admit on the air.
What?
That I was wrong.
Unprecedented.
Oh, wow.
In all the history of the internet.
But again, I have to be proved wrong. Like, the Eternals has to be like really great. And then I'll come on the air and I'll be like, I was wrong. And if it ends with a credit sequence where Lockjaw licks the camera, then it's my new favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the top.
Yeah. Well, you were the person who predicted that Avatar would be a big flop, so...
Did I?
Yeah, I remember it well.
I mean, it's possible. It didn't look... I mean, I never saw it, so as far as I'm concerned, it was a flop.
Yeah.
It didn't get the hallowed Elliot Kalin
quadrant.
Yeah, there's four quadrants: Stu, Dan, Elliot, and everybody else.
Yeah.
And you can get everybody else in the world. That's only one quadrant. You still got to get the other three, or else you don't get an EGOT.
Yeah.
So, guys, to bring this to a close, that's more than anyone has ever talked about the Eternals ever in history. Hopefully, it will be a movie more in the vein of Guardians of the Galaxy, by which I mean just characters that people aren't familiar with, that they take a liking to and are won over by. Because I'll remind the world something that I think I forget sometimes. In the olden days, people used to see movies about characters they didn't know anything about, and they'd like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not, you don't have to know a character already and already be a fan of theirs to enjoy the movie about them. So let's all go, if we just choose to see Eternals, let's do it with an open heart full of grooves, an open mind also full of grooves, because your brain is pretty groove full. I was going to say groovy, but not everyone's brain is groovy. But they're all full of grooves. They're full of rinks. And let's be nice to each other, okay? like the Eternals would be.
Elliot keeps taking the car around the block.
Elliot's brain's getting groovier with every moment.
It's the ending of podcast equivalent of there's no parking spot here, but what if I go this way?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, someone took my spot.
You know,
there was a spot, but I just missed it.
Sometimes the trick is to just park, man.
Park in the middle of the street, Dan?
Yeah. Just abandon the vehicle.
Abandon the car, just light it on fire and walk away. way.
That's a power move, my friend. Yeah.
That's true. When you say to the world, I don't even need my car anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Elliot Kalin saying thanks for listening. I've been joined, as always, by my fellow travelers through the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Their names are...
Dan McCoy.
And Stuart Wellington.
And if I leave you with one thing, it's just this. Let Kumail work out with J.K. Simmons. They're best friends. They don't get to see each other that much. They need their workout time. So Kumail, J.K. Simmons, keep on working out together. Eternals, coming your way in November. I've been Elliot Kalin. Oh, there's a spot. Hold on, guys. Hold on. I'm steering into it. Hold on. And, it's a hydrant. Okay, we got to go around again. You know what? Listeners, you leave us. I'll just talk to Dan for another 10 minutes. Bye.